What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How is everybody feeling out there? Hopefully you're doing well. You're listening to this maybe at the gym. That'd be a good start, right? Maybe you're listening to it at work because you have no respect for your boss and you don't care and you're doing anything other than what you're supposed to be doing. That's okay. How do you think I got started in this? I had a job where I had nothing to really do except I physically had to be at a certain place, and I watched every video I could get my hands on, listened to everything, read books. I took advantage of that time. So maybe you're in a position, a job where you're just listening to podcasts all day long. If that is the case, good for you. Learn something. Might as well, right? Hey, thanks so much to our sponsors. Chemical Free Body is one of the places that you want to go if you happen to be in the market for vitamins of any kind, because the way they're doing it there, it's all natural. Tim James is obsessive about it to the point where he was talking to me about who I use for my merchandise company for t-shirts and things like that. And I gave him the contact info and he says, oh, I can't use them because I have to have 100% certified organic, shirts. I can't have like anything with chemicals. And I was like, dang, okay. You're like really taking this chemical free body thing to the full extent. My merch store is fantastic, by the way. The quality is phenomenal, but I must confess that it did not meet Tim's standards of being free of all chemicals. So he's not joking. This is not just some sort of marketing gimmick to have the name chemical free body. He's like very serious about this. And he gave me a directive. He said, listen, I'm going to challenge you. You got to do this total energy and detox bundle because you're going to feel amazing. They call it a detox clinic in a box. You know, and I said, fine. You know, I'm funny that way. If you challenge me on something like that, I feel like maybe I kind of have to do it. So I did. He sent me two green 85, containers. It's like green powder that you add to water, stir it up and drink it every morning. It looks very weird. And then you try it and it tastes pretty good. Like the taste does not match the looks. I will say that. And there's four different boxes or four different containers filled with capsules, gut detox, toxin detox, probiotics, and ultra enzymes. And you take a handful of these every morning and you just go about your day. You know, that's it, how I do it. Vitamins and me are very, I'm very picky about them. Typically, if I just take regular, traditional, normal vitamins, I feel like I want to throw up after about 15 minutes. So I'm always unsure about how this is going to play out. And when Tim sent this over, I didn't have a problem with any of it. Not one time did my stomach feel weird. I didn't feel queasy or anything like that. So to me, that was a huge indicator that I was on the right path. I did a video showing my results, and I encourage people to take a look. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. And when you go there, it'll explain. It's got all the visual pictures of everything that comes in this packet. There's a little video that I made that I can show you it in on video that my shorts don't fit anymore. I lost so much weight with this, and I'm not a person that had a lot of weight to lose. So if you are in a situation where you do have weight to lose and you're interested in feeling a little bit better and you've got some spare cash, go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Take a look at the video. See if you think it fits for you or what you're trying to do. And if it does, use the promo code macro. Save yourself some money and just give it a try. And also thank you to C60 Purple Power. They have been amazing to us. And I've got a funny story about it as well. Ken Schwartz, the owner, he's been on the show. Their company is not too far from me. He came and hung out with me a couple days ago. In fact, I recorded an episode at my house with Ken that I'm going to be releasing. Actually, by the time this episode is out, I'm pretty sure I will have already put it up on Rockfin. It was crazy. We talked about the nuttiest stuff ever. We talked about UFOs because it was the big UFO disclosure. We talked about aliens. We talked about Bigfoot. We talked about the craziest shit. Ken is one of my new favorite people, I've got to tell you. And he owns C60 Purple Power. He's Ken the Scientist. That's their joking name for it. And the products that they're making are unbelievable. I have been taking them now for a couple of months. I can say with 100% honesty that it absolutely works. It totally works. The concept, the idea, the C60 molecule, the carbon molecule was theorized by Buckminster Fuller back in the 60s and 70s, and Ken gave me the full detail on, like, the long story on how they actually wound up finding it, and it is so complicated, I wouldn't even dream of trying to tell you how it works. But this group of scientists in 1985 discovered it and wound up winning the Nobel Prize for it a couple of years later. It's apparently a big deal, and it was a hard thing to prove. And then not only did they prove it, they actually figured out how to make it. And that is what Ken is selling. He explained the whole process of how they make it, and it made no sense to me whatsoever. And that's fine, because, you know, I look at the engine in my car, and that doesn't make any sense to me either, but I know that it works. And so I'm just going to trust Ken on this. What they're making is 99.99% pure sublimated C60. It's never exposed to solvents. It's made with 100% certified organic oils. It is third party tested. It is produced in an FDA compliant certified facility, and you get free shipping on it. So I would suggest you go to c60purplepower.com and just read. Before you buy anything, just read. Just take a look at what they've got there. The website isn't overly sciencey. It makes perfect sense. You can get an idea of what they're doing. And if you think that it is right for you and it's something that you want to get involved in, use the promo code MACRO. You'll save yourself some money. You'll support the show as well. And I fully believe in the product. So, and I fully believe in Ken too. Ken's a cool dude. I told you guys, he knows a lot, man. He's the scientist. He's the buttoned up scientist, but you get him over to your house, man, you start talking aliens and things get cool. So, anyway, check that stuff out. And speaking of aliens, I feel like there is a transition happening. Now, it's more than me just feeling like there's a transition happening. I'm witnessing a transition happening where we are moving from this age of biological human beings, fully biological, only biological, and we're starting to make this move into transhumanism. Now, the first time you hear about transhumanism, well, the first time you probably got any exposure to it, you probably didn't know the name transhumanism. You just saw it in movies. You just saw the blending of humans with technology, or the merging of man and machine, or robots and people, or you know, you saw Terminator, you saw things like that. You know, these movies where they start to give you a little predictive programming, give you a little taste of what's coming in the future. You have Philip K. Dick writing books like Minority Report and Total Recall, and which was his other books, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, and things like that. I mean, he was priming you for what was coming. Now, of course, when you write about this stuff too far in advance, you sound unhinged, like Philip Dick sounded in his interviews and in his writings. I don't believe that he was unhinged. I believe that when you see the future and you're trying to describe it, it will inevitably come across as sounding a bit well, detach from reality, but then again, you're talking about the future, and in the future, reality is a bit different. So it's reasonable to sound a little detached from reality when you're discussing things that haven't happened yet. But it's not to say that he was wrong. He was close on a lot. And this move into transhumanism, well, you know, your opinion on it, I think, will depend on maybe on your age, right? Maybe how into this stuff you are, maybe how cynical you are. I mean, if you're someone like me, I see the transhumanist agenda, and about 10% of me says, oh, that's cool, that would be super helpful in the future. And then 90% of me is like, what are these maniacs going to use it for? You know, how are they going to weaponize it? Or how are they going to turn this technology against us in some way? I, unfortunately, I'm a bit black-pilled in that sense, because I don't give myself too much time to have the joyous enthusiasm of seeing some new technological advancement, because I'm almost immediately wondering why these guys invented it, and does it have military applications, and is it going to be used as a tool for our enslavement? You know, so my brain goes there. Maybe yours doesn't. Maybe you're still looking at this stuff going, oh, think of all the great medical advancements that can happen. And there will be some, you know, to be crystal clear, there's going to be some great inventions coming in the future. Some things that will change our life. We will get ourselves to a position where the thought will cross our mind, man, I can't believe we ever existed without this stuff, whatever it is. But there's a price to pay. You know, it doesn't come for free. And when you're something as fragile as a human being, it will change us. It can change us, and it can harm us, this new technology. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the study that talks about when massive new technology is introduced to the population, it tends to make a certain percentage or segment sick from it. It even kills them. And I'm talking about things like the introduction of radio, the introduction of electricity, the introduction of combustion motor, things like that. Once it's introduced on a grand scale, television waves, all these new technologies that were never, you know, they were nowhere, and then all of a sudden they're kind of everywhere. There's a transition period where the human body has to kind of adapt to it and get used to it. So when the introduction of radio came out and the introduction of electricity came out, there was a segment of the population that got very sick from it, which is why in the early days of COVID, I was thinking about this, and then David Icke expanded upon it and then was ridiculed for it, which I thought was unfair. But to bring the question up, was 5G part of this? Was 5G related? Was the COVID, were the COVID symptoms actually 5G symptoms? Now, before you dismiss that as insanity, just know that that when we've had these transformative technologies like electricity and radio waves and things like that that have been introduced to us, there has been a bit of a learning curve or a bit of a an adaptation period where the human body needs to get ready for that. Not everybody is built the same. We know that everybody's got different, different levels of everyone is built a little bit differently. It depends on your geography. It depends on your age group, skin color to some extent, eye color. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. So when you introduce a new technology, sometimes it impacts one segment a little bit more than it does others. Now, we're starting to see that in very subtle ways. Subtle meaning you're not, the people aren't falling over dead like we saw early on in Wuhan, but we've had to talk about this with regard to cell phones and how cell phones were introduced and you know, all good, right? We now have the ability, we don't have to go home and check our answering machine and make a phone or pay phone call or anything like that. We now have a cell phone that used to be just people in limousines would have those, you know, car phones and everything. You'd think that was the coolest thing ever. But now we all have them. And that's great, right? It's convenient. And you're probably listening to this show on one. And there's, you know, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. But there are some side effects that come from it. You know, there's talk about people keep it in their pockets. And is it, you know, for men, is it impacting their sperm count? You know, is it playing a role in destabilizing our body in some way? And the answer is yes, actually it is. It's not to say that it happens for every person every time in the exact same way, but for some people it is impacting them. In 2016, the American Heart Association warned that cell phones could interfere with pacemakers. Okay, that's a big deal. If you've got a pacemaker, if you don't have a pacemaker, you just don't read that article, right? You just pass on by. Well, last month, the FDA warned that cell phones and smartwatches could interfere with medical implants. Okay, now we're not talking necessarily just about pacemakers. We're talking about all kinds of medical implants. And we're not just talking about cell phones. Now we're talking about smartwatches as well. This month, the Journal of American Heart Association warned that iPhone 12s could cause interference with pacemakers and other implants. So now they're getting even more specific. They're saying, all phones could interfere with pacemakers. But now they're coming out and they're saying this specific iPhone 12 really needs to be watched. And it has to do with the remote charging component of it. That seems to be what the differentiation is between the iPhone 11 and 12 that seems to be jumping out. So Apple has to kind of make a statement, right? So now Apple has announced that owners of AirPods, iPads, Apple Watch, HomePod, and MacBook users, this is like basically almost all of their products, need to be aware of the, quote, potential magnetic interference with medical devices caused by its products. So this was an update to their previous language that everything was fine, but full of magnets. Now they're saying, well, you have to really watch potential magnetic interference with all medical devices. So that's a problem. So iPhone 12s potentially inhibit life-saving therapy in a patient AirPods emit a high amount of wireless radiation. So do the watches. FCC tests on cell phones. You know, the FCC tests cell phones to see if they're safe, but you know what they don't do during the simulation? They don't simulate them touching the body. So they don't simulate it with you, like, having it in your, like in your pocket or right up against your face or something like that. So we've been taking these steps towards transhumanism slowly. It's incremental. I don't think anybody sees the improvements in technology as only a bad thing. Some of us, you know, we get a little funny when we start to hear about these massive improvements in technology, because we automatically go to, like, the worst possible place, where it's like, oh, these people are going to use this to kill us all, right? But we must confess that there are some improvements in technology that are going to be very welcome. They're going to make our current lives much better. But it's our job as tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist peoples out there, that we are going to at least double check their work. We're going to examine what they say. We're going to see who's saying it, for one, and then we're going to get to right down to the point of, what are these people trying to do? And when I think of transhumanism, and I try not to think of it too much, but lately it's become a topic that's kind of hard to miss. But when I think of transhumanism, I immediately start thinking of the World Economic Forum. And not for nothing. You know, they talk about transhumanism quite a bit. And their plan for society is transhumanism. So it's reasonable for me to make that connection. It's reasonable for all of us to make the connection to keep an eye on the World Economic Forum for whatever's going on in the world, because they're very much involved in it in some way, shape, or form. But I think it's important that we kind of drill down on the fourth industrial revolution that they're talking about. We've mentioned it before. We've mentioned that the technology component of that is being run by Isabel Maxwell, the sister of Ghislaine Maxwell. So that's not a good thing. And I mean, in case Klaus Schwab dressed as Emperor Palpatine didn't give it away with his German accent, the fact that he's brought in one of the Maxwell sisters is not good. That they're partnered up with Bill Gates, that's clearly not going to end well. It's the Davos crowd is filled with, you know, a lot of the worst people out there, powerful people, rich people, heavily connected banking families and things like that. Now, I'm not trying to shit on the rich just for being rich. I mean, do what you need to do, right? Within reason. But it's when you get to that point where you're so rich that you've bought everything there is to buy with a price tag on it, that you then start looking for all these things that aren't traditionally available for sale, like trying to remake the education system or trying to create this fourth industrial revolution. You start looking to sort of shape society. You go, all right, fine. I've got all the Lambos I can drive and the houses and Gulf Streams and all that stuff. Now, what I really want to do is see if I can change the technology side of things. So the fourth industrial, so people are saying, well, what is, okay, if the World Economic Forum is pushing the fourth industrial revolution, what were the first three? Well, the answer to that is that the first industrial revolution was powered by water and steam. The second industrial revolution was powered by oil, electricity, and steel. When I say powered, I don't necessarily mean that you're lighting steel on fire to power it, but I mean facilitated. And the emergence of the steel industry, Carnegie's, of course, Rockefeller's involved in the oil. These families came out of these transformational tech, transformative technologies, when they arise, tend to get controlled by certain organizations that have multi-generational families involved, like the Carnegies with steel and the Rockefellers with oil and Bill Gates with data. And, you know, you start to know where to look for these people. So the second revolution, oil, electricity, and steel. The third industrial revolution, computers, electronics, and internet. And here we are on the cusp of the fourth industrial revolution. Well, if old Klaus Schwab has anything to say about that. And the fourth industrial revolution will be a blending of physical, biological, and digital. And let me read you something that Klaus Schwab said. He said, fusion of technologies that is blurring the lines between the physical, digital, and biological spheres. That's how he's describing transhumanism. And they go on in their writings to talk about transhumanism as the best hope for a utopian future. But really what it's actually doing, or what they actually would like it to do, remember, it's a sales pitch. The sales pitch is utopian future and Elysium, you know, the floating space station and all that stuff. Oh, everything will be fine. We'll cure all these viruses and there'll be no more inequality and everyone will have a universal basic income. It's the sales pitch, right? That's what you get. But what it's actually going to do is turn the world into an authoritarian digital system of global government that they control. And when they talk about things like you'll own nothing and never be happier, they're talking about you. They're not talking about them. They're not saying we'll own nothing and never be happier. No, they'll own everything. Don't misunderstand. When they say you'll own nothing and never be happier, the reason why you'll own nothing is because they will own everything. It's not like the things just no longer have ownership. It's not like, oh, you'll own nothing and I'll own nothing and that guy across the street will own nothing. No. You'll own nothing, they'll own everything. That's what they want. That doesn't sound like utopia to me. That sounds like feudal society, kings and serfs and stuff like that. And frankly, that's what they want. We look at that and go, ugh, it would suck to be a serf, you know, out there farming all day long and giving everything you own to the king. They look at that and they go, we're the kings. Yes, that's a great system. We want to go back to that. So the sales pitch is this. Oh, the fourth industrial revolution is going to fix climate change. They say this. It's going to fix climate change. It's going to fix inequality, and it's going to fix social justice. What? How? The fourth industrial revolution is going to fix social justice? Why? By tilting the playing field so that the oppressed people get everything and the everyone else gets nothing? I'm sorry. What Klaus Schwab also went on to say is what the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity. I think people should let that sink in for a second. A fusion of our physical, that's us, digital, that's our online, and biological identity. They want to put computers in you. Now, again, they're not saying that they're going to be doing all this stuff. They're saying you're going to be doing all this stuff. You're going to be the one that has loaded up with microchips and Neuralinks and all that stuff. That's going to be for you, not for them. They're the ones in charge. Well, hey, listen, someone's got to run the machines, right? Right. So that's what they're going to be doing. You and me, we're going to be living in a different world, and that will become crystal clear. So be very careful when you hear people talking about the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and the World Economic Forum in terms of, hey, won't it be great because these people are working towards fixing inequality and they're working on fixing social justice and they're working on climate change. Okay, climate change is fake. It's fake. It's a carbon tax scam set up by these same maniacs. They've written about it in their works at the Club of Rome. They're very upfront about it. They gave away the game back in 1971. They said exactly what they were going to do. They used the idea of climate change and global warming as the pretext to force everybody in to a carbon tax system that will be used to fund their one world government. They say it. They say it. I can't. I mean, I'm not making it up. They're the ones talking about this stuff. So when you hear them say that it's going to fix climate change, but you know climate change is fake, then you know they're fake because they're talking about this as if like they're going to get in there and fix it, or they're going to fix inequality. Hell, they're the ones that are driving inequality. The reason why there's inequality in this world is because of banks and governments. It's not because of you. You're not oppressing somebody. You would never think to do something like that. They would. They will step on somebody's throat to get more money, more resources, and more for them and less for you. They have shown a long track record of doing this. This is how they operate. This is what they want to do. But they're going to make you feel guilty for living in this world, for contributing to all these problems, problems which they themselves are responsible for creating mostly. They're going to guilt you into feeling like you're part of this social inequality problem for being, I don't know, white or healthy or intelligent or living in the United States or whatever. It doesn't matter. They're going to make you feel guilty about that. And then as to cleanse yourself of this guilt, they're going to want to tax you so that they can take that money to fix these problems. The plan in the Club of Rome's book does not include, once we get all this money, then we'll show you how we fix all the problems. There were no problems from global warming to begin with that needed to be fixed. They admit it in the beginning. They say they need to raise money, you know, from this tax to get people into a one world government. But they never go on and say, well, and then once we take all this money, then we're going to fix X, Y, and Z, because there was never anything broken in the first place. They admitted that there was all a lie. So they're going to tax you and take that money and do whatever they want with it. Reinforce the structure that's keeping you in, no doubt. Buy up everything that they can with that money. But more than anything, just make sure that you never excel. You'll be able to succeed to a certain extent. Maybe your social credit score will go up a couple points or something. I don't know. But not in any sort of real way will you be able to succeed. You will be locked out. There will be two tiers of people living in the same place. I mean, I just look at what's going on in Palestine. And you've got two groups of people occupying the same space and living two vastly different lives. So envision something like that, and it's not going to be good. Klaus writes about wanting to, quote, intrude into our minds, read our thoughts, and influence our behavior. No thanks. I'm totally good with Klaus Schwab not being able to intrude into my mind. I mean, hell, he's already in my mind enough, me thinking about this guy. And by the way, I got to tell you, like on sort of a side note, I've done 4 episodes of Eric Hollerbeck's show, The Highway Diaries, if you guys are interested in finding that. And Eric is a great guy who is also a comedian and also just the right amount of crazy, you know? And he does these Klaus Schwab Jr. impressions where he pretends to call him. He records these calls where he pretends to be Klaus Schwab Jr. that's leaving voicemail messages on Eric's phone, but it's really Eric doing it. And it's fucking hysterical. And he's out of his mind. And he showed up one day dressed as Klaus Schwab in Austin to a comedy show where Sam Tripoli was performing, and they wound up hanging out. Anyway, it's a whole thing. But whenever I read about Klaus Schwab, I'm in my mind, I'm hearing Eric Hollerich's voice doing the Klaus Schwab Jr. calling again. Yeah. It's just, you got to go check out his stuff. It's phenomenal. Anyway, he's writing about this. You know, Klaus has written several books. It's about the only thing he and I have in common, to be fair. And in these books, he talks about concepts and ideas that sound so insane to us. And yet, just be honest and think about this. Based on the trajectory that you see this society going in, and kind of who's in charge, the reason, like, that so many people are not even acknowledging what's happening, let alone pushing back. You just have to understand that it is totally feasible for Klaus Schwab's insane ideas to take hold, because people are asleep at the wheel, and these people that are running the show have every advantage at their disposal to make it happen. Here are some of the things that he envisions. Brain scans before allowing people to cross borders to measure their security risk. Okay. So before you come into the United States, you have your brain scanned by, I don't know, TSA, I guess. what could possibly go wrong with those dummies? To measure whether or not you're a security risk. Okay. So that's pre-crime. They're going to get in your brain and see if you're thinking about blowing up buildings or starting a revolution or whatever. Klaus wants law enforcement and the court system to be able to retrieve memories from people's minds, like fucking Minority Report. To go back, to go through people's minds to determine intent. Oh, what a slippery slope that is. I mean, you already right now, you know, you get into an argument with somebody and it's on video or someone's recording it or something. You say, yeah, I'll kill you. You know, like, you don't really mean you're going to kill them, but you said it. How do you measure intent? How do you quantify intent in that situation? You go, well, I would never really actually do it. How do you know? Well, Klaus Schwab wants to use brain scans and allow the court system, you know, the court system in the United States that's so fair, that's constantly people are getting let out after DNA results are coming. Guys in prison for 27 years for a rape he didn't commit. Guys in death row for murder didn't commit it. DNA exonerates him, all this stuff. You're going to let law enforcement and the court system be in charge of scanning and retrieving memories from people's minds? Oh my God. I honestly want no part of this. And that's not even getting into the fact that what goes on in people's heads. I mean, have you been to New York City and you just walk down the street and if you just do that and think, I wonder what that guy's thinking. You don't want to know. Let's just be honest here. They want implantable devices like Neuralink, like Elon Musk's Neuralink. Klaus Schwab says that he wants the ability for implantable memories. Once again, Philip K. Dick nailing it. Total Recall. I feel like Klaus Schwab is like a huge fanboy of Philip K. Dick. He's like, oh, I like what you've done here. Like, yes, let's incorporate that in too. All of the insane. I'm waiting for Klaus Schwab to say that, like, a dark-haired woman will appear at the door. You know what I mean? Because that happens in all of Phil's books. He wants physical body monitoring by implantable devices. So you're talking about not pre-crime, pre-sickness. And Whitney and I talked about this too when she was coming on. We were talking about HARPA, the new DARPA, but instead of the defense version, it's the health version. And they're talking about pre-sickness as well. Of course they are, because it's all part of this World Economic Forum Fourth Industrial Revolution. We're talking about auto-releasing medications into your bloodstream. We're talking about remotely updating your vaccine software. That's a problem. I mean, that is. I'm not a religious person. I don't know who created us. I don't know if it's God, Anunnakis came down and genetically monkeyed with us so that we would be used to mine gold for them. I've heard a bunch of crazy stories. What I do know is that there's a line that you probably shouldn't cross when it comes to taking what we are, human beings, and improving upon it. Now, I'm all for braces. I've had not LASIK, but AK, astigmatic keratotomy, that where you improves your eyesight. So these are modifications. These are human modifications. They absolutely are. But I don't, you know, they're not turning me into a chimera. I'm not part pig, part man, and I don't have like my astigmatic keratotomy that improved my vision didn't give me x-ray vision, didn't give me ultraviolet, the ability to see an ultraviolet light or anything like that. It just fixed what was wrong with me. So where do we draw that line between fixing things that are wrong with us and human enhancement? And it's a slippery slope that I imagine is going to get a whole keg of KY dumped on it, because things are going to get way more difficult as we start to move down this path towards transhumanism. And what does that mean? And what do how is that going to play out? Well, let me tell you what Klaus Schwab said about how it's going to play out. And the short answer is he doesn't know. But these are his words. We do not yet know just how it will unfold, but one thing is clear. The response to it must be integrated and comprehensive, involving all stakeholders of the global polity, from the public and private sectors to academia and civil society. It will change not only what we do, but also who we are. It will affect our identity and all the issues associated with it, our sense of privacy, our notions of ownership, our consumption patterns, the time we devote to work and leisure, and how we develop our careers, cultivate our skills, meet people, and nurture relationships. That's Klaus Schwab. He's not the only one who has thoughts on where we're going with this. There's a Forbes article from 2017 entitled "Transhumanism and the Future of Humanity: 7 Ways the World Will Change by 2030." And this is a quote from a headline that says, "Our bodies will be augmented." And I want to read this. It says, "The coming years will usher in a number of body augmentation capabilities that will enable humans to be smarter, stronger, and more capable than we are today. Wearables will be one form of body augmentation, but they will far surpass the fitness trackers of today. We will also see increased use of implants, ranging from brain microchips and neural lace to mind-controlled prosthetics and subdermal RFID chips that allow users to unlock doors or computer passwords with the wave of a hand. However, the most powerful body augmentation will come from biological augmentation as a result of increased insight into our genomes, advances in IVF technology that may allow us to select the most intelligent embryos, and powerful CRISPR gene editing technology, which may one day give us the ability to eliminate all heritable diseases. These body augmentation capabilities will give rise to humans that are more resilient, optimized, and continually monitored. Ding, 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 ding. Continually monitored. I think that's the key. I think that's the main key here. We've established this is not for our own good, right? Yes, there will be modifications that make you better at certain things, that will improve your, what might save your life, improve your quality of life, give you the ability, let's say you've lost your arm, to give you a there's nothing inherently wrong with getting a prosthetic arm. And this arm has this amazing ability to connect to your brain and everything. That's how it starts. You've got to sell the benefits. And look, who doesn't want some guy that lost his arm to have the ability to use technology to solve the problem of, I'm armless and now I need an arm and this thing is solving the problem? I'm not going to stand in that guy's way. Wouldn't dream of it, right? But we do have to acknowledge that after you perfect the arm technology and it works so well connecting to your brain, these guys go looking for other things that it'll do. And it's not you. And to be fair, you don't have to be an evil villain to think like that. You just start. It's a natural progression. Well, okay, well, we've given this guy a fake arm. What if we, you know, what if we look for other things that people need? So it's not, and none of this is a new concept. Aldous Huxley talked about this back in 1961. He said, there will be, in the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire society so that people will, in fact, have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing, or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. He knew. He was in that circle. He knew what was going on. This was not a, he wasn't speculating and like saying, oh, I wonder if, wouldn't it be neat if we did this, isn't it? He knew what the plan was. He was in that elite circle of people. He's writing about this, some may say as a warning sign, some may say as predictive programming. But he wasn't guessing. That's for sure. The details, you know, might vary. But the framework of what he's saying is 100% true. Now, he wrote that in 1961. We're, you know, 60 years past that, but it feels like his prediction about being distracted was right on. That they take the, you know, you're taking your liberties away, but you rather enjoy it. You mean like you're not allowed to leave your house, but you can stay home and watch Netflix? You mean like that? 2020? They'll be distracted by any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing. Look, I believe that the television is the biggest brainwashing device we have. Propaganda device as well. I'm not just talking about the content that you see on your screen. I'm talking about the technology behind it. The brainwave patterns, the brainwave cycles that it puts you in when you're watching it is very devious. And none of this is accidental. And when he's talking about, you know, moving in, when Klaus Schwab is talking about moving into this fourth industrial revolution, he's talking about physical body monitoring by implanted devices, things like pre-sickness and auto-release of meds and remote vaccine updates. Well, it makes me think of the mRNA vaccine and the operating system that they talk about. And we've got something directly from Moderna's website. It says, our operating system. Recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program or app is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein. We have a dedicated team of several hundred scientists and engineers solely focused on advancing Moderna's platform technology. They are organized around key disciplines and work in an integrated fashion to advance knowledge surrounding mRNA science and solve for challenges that are unique to mRNA drug development. Some of these disciplines include mRNA biology, chemistry, formulation, and delivery, bioinformatics, and protein engineering. So you've got Moderna making these mRNA vaccines, in air quotes, because they're not technically vaccines, they're gene therapies. A company that has never brought a product to market. They're 0 for 8. This would be their ninth shot at it with this Moderna vaccine, which of course is available, but only not because it got approval, but it's available because it has emergency use authorization. That's the only reason why it's available to the public. It didn't get approval. If it did get approval, it would be the first of, it would be one of nine tries that they've had to get an approval on one of their vaccines or gene therapy. They can't get them approved because they don't work. They're not working well. But you've got them talking about an operating system that is in the vaccines that they are injecting into people. The same vaccine that is giving people horrible side effects. Not every person, not every time, but it is giving some people horrible side effects, including death. The ultimate side effect, right? These people are part of the transhumanist agenda. And the reason why I know that is because on the World Economic Forum's website, it says so. It lists the areas of expertise that they're involved in. Vaccines are one of them. COVID-19 vaccine is one of them. They want to control the population through the tracking of actions, thoughts, behavior, and beliefs. This is what they're talking about. Now, the ways in which they want to do this, the ways they want to control the population, the tracking of actions, the tracking of thoughts, the managing of behavior and beliefs, is through a couple different areas. And they go into great detail on these on their website. I won't, you can go to weforum.org, take a look for yourself. But they plan to do it through vaccines, microchips, 5G, social credit scores, big tech, cryptocurrency, artificial intelligence, space fence, smart cities, data, mRNA technology, and gene editing. That's how they're going to control everything. It's through all of these components. Some of them fit nicely together, some of them do not. But envision this. Allow yourself to go to this weird place for just a moment. And I mentioned this with James Corbett too, if you go back to that episode from a couple of weeks ago. But imagine, if you will, you take one of these gene editing vaccines, one with an mRNA operating system in it. It goes into your body, and from that point on, you now have a second operating system besides your brain. You have this other one, and they are constantly updating you through this operating system, much like you would with a computer. Hey, you know, new updates. You know, let me know when you want to shut down your computer so I can reboot it. Right? You just imagine this sort of thing. Like, hey, we've got a new update to your vaccine. When you go to bed tonight, we'll reboot it, and then we'll upload the new version. And you're like, oh, thanks, Klaus. Now you do that enough. At what point, you do enough upgrading through these operating systems, or as they mentioned, the subdermal RFID chips, or whatever, you get yourself to a point, and I'm not sure what that point is. I'm sure it will be established, but you get yourself to a point that you are now no longer totally human. You are now technically part human and part something else. They can't own you. Well, I mean, they kind of own us, but they can't, in a legal sense, own us. I know that there's fuckery happening when you get your social security number in the United States. I know they take out like loans against you. It's a weird thing, but let's take that out of the equation for now. They can't own a patent on you because you're a human being. The same way the law says they can't own a patent on tomatoes because tomatoes are natural. But with genetically modified tomatoes, where they use gene editing technology and get in there and change the genetic code of that tomato so that it is now no longer a natural tomato. It is now a hybrid of sorts. Now it doesn't fall under that designation of being a natural item. It falls under a different designation of which you can patent and license that technology out and make money. My question is this: at what point do we get during this evolution or devolution, if you want to call it that, do we get to the point where we're no longer a natural tomato? We're now a genetically modified tomato that can be patented, licensed, sold, destroyed, traded, whatever. We've got CRISPR, gene editing software. It's, you know, I think it's like you can get in the ball game for like 10 grand. We've got the rise of robots. We've got them talking about human enhancements. We see the finish line of Agenda 2030. We see where they're going with that, where they want to go with that. It's not too difficult to extrapolate out where things can go. I mean, I'm not looking forward to this. Don't want it, but when you see the push for transhumanism, it's going to be sold to us as a benefit. We know that. We're going to be told that. Think of the medical ramifications of this and how many people we could save, and you know that's how it'll be delivered to us in the form of all the things that we can improve in our current day-to-day lives with this improved technology. And look, case can be made that would be a good thing. Might be the only good thing that comes out of it. But don't expect them to get real honest with you about the surveillance implications of it, because they won't. Don't ask them to, you know, hey, what happens if I get on the wrong side of you people and you decide you want to turn off my operating system? Oh, we would never do that. I mean, no. We're not trying to play God here or anything. You're not going to get your universal basic income unless you've had your vaccine implant, you know, your mRNA vaccine that we can constantly update. So, you know, I mean, They have ways to make you do these things eventually. How's this going to fit in with your social credit score? Maybe you don't get to participate in the social credit system if you don't have the chip in your head or the mRNA vaccine running through your veins somewhere, and you're shut out of society because of that. What is 5G's role in all of this? How are they planning on incorporating artificial intelligence to this transhumanist agenda? I mean, that's a powerful weapon, to have artificial intelligence and the ability to crunch numbers in a way that that nobody else can do. And we have, so I'm just thinking that these are components that we need to be, I don't know if worried is the right term, but at least aware of the potential for these things to be compromised. We should always assume that the worst people in the world will be in charge of these technologies. And if that is the case, what sort of nefarious things could they do if they had access to this? If we move into a transhumanist agenda, a world like that, then like how many steps away from Terminator are we, really? Where the robots are out hunting the humans, and then I got to go back in time and steal somebody's clothes and motorcycle. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not interested in doing that. I don't know why I assumed it would be me doing it. Probably because it's my show, right? I'm not going back in time to fight Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm just not. I will go back in time to fight Klaus Schwab. That I promise you. If the technology arises, I will oil wrestle Klaus Schwab at Hollywood Tropicana. Like, you know, the right way, the way it should be done. I don't know. This concept of transhumanism is terrifying to me. I would feel better about it if the right people were in charge of it and talking about it, but they're not. The worst people in the world are talking about it. So, you know, color me skeptical of Klaus Schwab and his ideas for where he wants to take things. But, you know, and it might take a generation, but if you know where we're going, and where we're going is a transhumanist sort of agenda, then it makes it easier for you to work backwards from that and say, well, if I was planning to go there, how would I go about doing it? Well, wearable technologies, well, first of all, cell phones would be a good start, then wearable technology, then implantable technologies, then maybe brain chips, then, you know. And when you think about those things, and then you start hearing them in the media talking about, you know, we really need to consider what we're going to be doing with these Neuralink things, and you're like, wait a second, you can start to see like the pathway starts to glow a little bit, and you go, I see how they're going to take us there. So be aware of it. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm really not. I'm just saying that if we're aware of it, it makes things increasingly more difficult for them to pull them off. They count on us being asleep at the wheel. They need us to not know what the plan is. They need us to think that Bill Gates is a good guy and Klaus Schwab is just trying to help out. None of that is true. These people have a dystopian nightmare plan for us, and they're going to invite us to dinner at their house and close the door behind us, and it's over. So be aware. Talk to people about it. Take this show. Share it with your friends and family if you're so inclined. Because the conversation needs to happen now, so that when these things are actually rolling out in a real way, not just as like they are now where they're starting to come out, but once they're up and running, we need to have a plan in place for how to deal with it. And just hoping for the best, and hoping that Klaus Schwab or Eric Schmidt or Elon Musk or any of these people are going to do what's best for you. That's a loser strategy right there. There's just too many variables that you will never be able to control. So we can't outsource it on this one. Where these people don't want what's best for us. They want a totally different version of society with them on top and all of us underneath them. And I want nothing to do with that. So if you like this show, if you think that the information is important, please share it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.